chapter 2, then, and verse 24, Romans, or 21, I'm sorry, Romans 2, 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is what? Blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You know, as Christians, we never want to do anything, do we, that would cause someone to curse God, to blaspheme his name, to use it as an excuse for not getting saved. And so, while we do not want to do that, we are so woefully incompetent and inconsistent. If you hold your place here, notice with me in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Because about the time we say, well, I'm not a hypocrite, what are we? A hypocrite. So 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we what?
Deceive
ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what?
Cleanse
us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him what? A liar, and his word is not in us. So just about the time we say, well, I'm not a hypocrite, but so-and-so is, about that time we are a hypocrite because we're all sinners. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Is there a time to point out sin and deal with hypocrisy? Yes, but only after we deal with it in ourselves. In Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the what? The beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou what?
Hypocrite.
First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So sometimes people just quote verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Well, if we read the passage, there is a time to judge. There is a time to help others see their problems, but only after we deal with our own problems. Notice in Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. There can only be a pure group, a pure assembly, a pure church, as we all recognize how frail and sinful we are. And we'll look in Isaiah in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 7, we have the Apostle Paul, whom we would say was indeed a great Christian, a great missionary. But in verse 14, Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under sin. Would we admit that? I mean, if someone were to come up to us today and say, are you spiritual or are you carnal? How many of us would say, yeah, both. You know, we'd be tempted to say, well, I'm spiritual, of course. But Paul said, you know what? I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, what?
Evil.
Evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now there's the proof of salvation. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, right now, you know, we see Russia has attacked Ukraine, and of course, there's a lot of things brought up about Ukraine and their own corruption. And I mean, we don't know the whole story. Only God knows the whole story. And there has been there's been a lot of corruption to do with Ukraine and our own political leaders here, which is a whole other story. But nonetheless, there are a lot of innocent people in Ukraine that are suffering a lot. And in regard to Russia, Mr. Putin, how can you justify what he has done? Although some are trying to justify what he has done. But the fact of the matter is should hatred be shown toward Russia? What about all the innocent people in Russia that do not want this war? What about all the people in Russia that are in prison right now because they've dared to speak up against the war? So out of all the corruption in both countries and in all countries, there's a lot of innocent people that are getting hurt in the process. And it's the same way with sin. Verse 23 tells us, you know, we have, as it were, an old Putin, right, in our flesh that loves to do the wrong thing. And it hurts. It hurts ourselves. It hurts other people. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, the flesh. I was reading this week, Mr. Putin has a yacht that's been being built, and he towed it from where it was being built to some other country before he attacked Ukraine. But I was just reading about it. It showed the bathroom, one of the bathrooms, and his yacht's a $700 million yacht. I think it said it's the world's largest private yacht. But whether that article is correct, I don't know. But anyway, it showed that in the bathroom, there is a gold-plated toilet paper holder. Gold-plated, it showed it. Toilet paper holder. I mean, you may say, well, how much is there to a toilet paper holder? Well, this one has like a little roof or reminds me of a fender, you know, on a motorcycle or something. It has over the toilet paper roll, it's gold plated. It has a floor with a swimming pool on it that also has a tile floor. So they said it was a dance floor. So it can be a dance floor or it can open up into the pool. Now, if there were a bunch of people dancing on that floor, that's what I would do with it. I would open it up and let them all fall down into the water and then go get dressed right and live right. But anyway, it was just showing the hypocrisy of Mr. Putin. His own people, his own economy is tanked because of his attack, and yet he's got this $700 million private yacht parked somewhere. I don't know where it is right now. So what's the end result? I mean, it sounds pretty bleak, verse 21. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. We've got a war going on inside. We've got a Russia and Ukraine or whatever two countries you want to put. going on inside of us. What's the answer? Is there an answer? Chapter 8. There is therefore now no what?
Condemnation
to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the answer. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God has set us apart. How? Through His Son. Notice in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Positionally, in Christ, when we are saved, there you can look on our account and there is no sin. You know, it's kind of like with Israel, God's leading them out of Egypt. And, I mean, they murmur. 10 times they murmured against God. And He judged them, all different kinds of judgments. But they get close to the promised land. And Balak tries to hire Balaam to curse Israel. And God will not let Balaam curse Israel. And so Balaam gets this word from God and relates it to Balak and relates that God says that He's seen no evil in Israel. You say, what are you talking about? It's like Moses said, ye rebels, must I fetch you water out of this rock? I mean, that was even before the Confederate flag was designed. You have to realize there were rebels. Moses said, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? What is this? Was God lying? Was Balaam lying? When he said God had seen no iniquity, I can't think of the exact word right there, but in Israel, no, God was stating that He's looking at His people through His Son, and it's through His Son that we are forgiven. Notice in 1 John 2, 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye what? Sin not. No matter how frail we are, no matter how weak we are, no matter how far short of the glory of God we come, God's standard never changes. It's still that we sin not. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. So about the time we excuse our sin, we're guilty. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who? The righteous. And He is a propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if we sin, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Brother Tom was mentioning about talking to people of a different church, different religion, but and they're not sure they're going to heaven. Why are a whole host of people in that state? Because verse 1, their trust is not in Jesus Christ, the righteous, because if their trust was totally in Him, they'd be able to answer, by the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. By the grace of God, I know I'm going to heaven. If you hold your place here, notice in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. Oh, let's back up verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. We are what? Confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. We're confident. Why are we confident? Is it because all Christians are arrogant? Well, you know what? Let us not say that we aren't, because wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So about the time we would say, oh, I'm never arrogant, that's about the time we'll be arrogant. So we have to be humble. But so if we go back to 1 John chapter 2, so why can we be confident? Because verse 1, 1 John 2:1, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our advocate. Our salvation depends upon him. That's why we're confident of salvation, not because of ourselves, but because our trust is in Jesus, and he is totally righteous. I don't know where we left off. I think it was Romans 7 there. Let's go back there just a second. So, actually, Romans 8, verse 1. So, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, okay, positionally, before God, as Christians, we are positionally sinless through Jesus Christ. All of our sin has been washed away, past, present, and future, by his blood. That's positionally before God. But what about practically? That's where it comes in verse 8, chapter Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we've got to practice what we preach. So let's go back to Romans 2. Romans 2. And verse 21. Romans 2, 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, then what? Teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal. Dost thou steal? So as Christians, so before God, we're sinless through Jesus Christ, his blood. But what about practically speaking? You know, what would the world say as they view our lives? Or what would other Christians say as they view our lives? Wow. He or she is faithful or a hypocrite? What would they say? So that matters on how we walk. Romans 8, 1, Romans 2, 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? I was in the store, well, I guess it was last night, and can't remember. Oh, it was a food item, actually. I think it was some of those, I don't know, rice cakes? I don't know if I have the right name, but anyway, they're kind of bagged in a long tube, and they're just round and flat. I think they were rice cakes of some sort. And so I was walking down through the aisle, and one of those was on the aisle. So it's like, you know, it's not my job to pick up but I thought, no, I need to. There's somebody else walking right at me, and I'm thinking, should I pick it up? Should I not? Should I pick it up? Should I not? I'll pick it up. Put it away. What does that have to do with being a Christian? Well, isn't there something in there about loving our neighbor as ourselves? And who is our neighbor? Anyone in need. You know, how many times would those rice cakes get kicked and run over by a cart or knocked out of the way by a cart until it wasn't even sellable anymore? Now, I don't know who knocked it out of there. Maybe it just fell out itself. I don't know. But you know what? There's so many things we can leave an impact. I told you about the flat tire. People remember us. I've told you many times about the pizza. I eat something that you probably would not even call pizza. It's a no-sauce pizza. It's a no-sauce cheese pizza. You may say, that isn't pizza. Where's the pepperoni? Where's the meat? Where's the pineapple? Where's the mushrooms and meat? That's a pizza? Well, because I ask for that weird pizza, they often remember who I am. And so last night I went in to get it, and the guy looked at me and said, Austin? He remembered. And I gave him tracks, and he even said to me, he said, a lady came in and wanted her pizza, and he says, that'll be 15 minutes. So I don't know when she ordered it, because when I ordered ours, he said 15 minutes. So anyway, and so the lady walks out, and he looks at me and says, can you believe the way they're parked? And I look out there, and they're kind of on an angle. It's kind of like in my young, foolish days when I had a car that meant too much to me. I would do that trick. When I didn't want door dings, you know, I'd park like on an angle, you know, so no one could park too tight to me. And he just, you know, he just brings up something, and I didn't say much about the way they were parked, but we leave an impact everywhere we go, don't we? I mean, if we're handing out the gospel, people expect us to do what? Okay, be perfect, or let's do right. Yeah, if we're talking to others about Christ, the gospel, salvation, the church, they expect us to do right. So I guess they expected me. Thankfully, I guess I parked right. I have to remember that when I go to the pizza place. That's a sin to park on an angle and take up more than one parking place. Isn't it amazing how even lost sinners know what's right and wrong, even though they don't live that way? They know what's right and wrong. And just to point out to me that, I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, I tried to give him the gospel, and he's ready to look at other people's faults. Then can you believe the way they are parked? So it just reminds us in verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? You know, people notice where our eyes are. You see somebody walking down the sidewalk that's not dressed too well, and you don't have to stare, you just see at a glance. And then you're looking ahead, like the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on. And you see the guy in the car ahead of you, you know, cranking his head, you know, around looking at whoever's not dressed right on the sidewalk. People notice what we look at. Notice in Matthew 5. You know, it's not only people notice a lot more than we think, but you think of all the cameras everywhere now. You know, these people have cameras in their homes, and whether it's the doorbell, it's the Ring doorbell thing that has a video. I don't know how many weeks ago it was when I rang the doorbell, and the guy talked to me, and then at the end he says, well, I'm not home now, just leave it on the door. And so I mentioned to you that was the first time I've ever talked to somebody at their door, and they weren't even home. Well, there's that technology today, so you never know what people are watching. So sometimes people, you know, might see a Jehovah's Witness literature in the door, which you have not seen since COVID started. That's the one good thing about COVID. The Jehovah's Witnesses are petrified of it, and they haven't been out. You might receive some mailings now, but they're afraid to go out. So that's one good thing. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, Matthew 5:27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not what? Commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever what? Looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed what? Adultery with her already where? In his heart. And you know what? There's a lot of other people that are watching. I mean, they watch whether we crank our heads and what we're looking at, especially if they know we're Christians. Especially. They will watch. And so it goes back to Romans 2:21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? You know, they've got these all of these, what do you call them? They're programs you can put on your computer and on your phones. It's like to keep you off the wrong type of websites. And a lot of them send copies of whatever you look at online. It sends copies to whoever you want it to. In other words, someone that you want to be your, like, not mentor, but Maybe that's the word, I don't know. But someone accountable. Someone that you just want all the info that you're looking at to be sent to someone that can hold you accountable if they care to go through all the websites and actually check up on you. But there was someone that was under one of those for some time and then confessed that he was looking at the wrong things. And so you think, how did that happen? A program was on his phone. How did he get away with that? Well, it could be that whoever was holding him accountable wasn't really holding him accountable. Was too busy. Hey, grow up. Be spiritual. You know, why do I have to go behind you looking at everything you've looked at to see if you're being good or bad? So maybe that was the problem, or just maybe. How many of you have ever seen like a 3 or 4 year old child grab a cell phone and know how to work it? Like look at pictures and this. Yeah. Are you telling me now a 3 or 4 year old can take your cell phone and walk right away with it and look at all the pictures on your phone? So us adults, you know, a generation or two or three, are you telling me those kids can't figure out how to get around these programs? Well, a lot of times they can. So, you know what we have to keep in mind? God knows what? Everything. Yeah. Let's go to Psalm 139. I am not knocking accountability programs. That's wonderful, but I'm saying they are not foolproof. I'm not against them, but I'm just saying if someone wants to get around them, they can. And just face it, you know, who do you know that has hours just that they don't have anything to do? You know, like they want to go behind you and not too many people. Psalm 139:1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and what? Known me. Thou knowest my what?
Down sitting
and what?
Mine uprising.
How many of you right now could tell me how many times you have sat down this morning and how many times you have got up? No, none of us. None of us know. But God knows. How many of us could go out in the yard and pick up an oak leaf and tell the rest of us which tree it came off from? Now, if it's right below an oak tree, you might guess right which tree it came off from. But I want to know the twig, the branch it came off from. Which one was it on? None of us know that question answer, but God does, doesn't he? He knows. He could pick up that leaf and show you right where the twig that it came off from. It says, then, thou understandest my thought, what?
Afar off.
Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with what?
All my ways.
Listen, we are accountable to God. He knows everything. Now, if it helps you in some area to put yourself accountable to another person, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm just saying, for all of us, we're accountable to God. And, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. We have to close with this because of time. 1 Corinthians 3. We are going to, as Christians, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Are any of our sins going to be brought before us? And no, those sins are all under the blood of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ has everything to do with rewards. In verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made what?
Manifest.
Manifest means known. Think of the word manifest, think of the sun coming up. The sun manifests itself. It makes itself known. So, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's what? Work of what? Sort it is. So, we were talking about this yesterday coming back from witnessing. As Christians, the person with the most works that it can be piled on does not necessarily receive the most rewards in heaven, because it's judged according to every man's work according to what sort it is. So it's the quality, the purity of it, not the quantity of it. I mean, we could go 16, 18 hours a day for the Lord, but if it's not done with the right heart, that's not going to mean anything. So it's the sort, verse 13. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, in other words, it goes through the fire, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what?
A reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what?
Loss.
Okay, what kind of loss? Well, verse goes on. But he himself shall be what?
Saved.
So it's not talking about the loss of salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. If our works are burned, it's not the loss of salvation. Yet so as by fire. So what is it? Well, it's verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So, everything we've done as a Christian's piled on the conveyor, as it were. I don't know how all this is going to look in heaven, but it goes into the fire, and whatever comes out the other side, ashes or rewards. So, what did we do this week for Christ? Well, how's that going to come through the fire? Is it going to come out a shining, gleaming crown? My wife got some birthday greetings from one of her sisters this morning, and I mean, beautiful things. I didn't even know they were on phones, but she was showing me there, just sparkling birthday greetings. I mean, it was really, really neat. What's going to come out of our works in heaven? Are we going to be... Here's this gleaming, sparkling crown that come out of the fire. And wow, I never dreamed that was going to be the result of that thing I did for Christ. Maybe it was that little thing you did for someone that you didn't even know if anyone even knew that you did it. But you did it in Jesus' name. You did it unselfishly. No one asked you to do it. You just did it, and wow. You know, the Bible talks about more than one crown a person can get. And just, can you imagine just the awe of that? Doing something in humility with a pure heart and seeing. We know evolution is foolish and ridiculous, but can you imagine our measly works for Christ, which are pitiful, but because they were done in the right spirit, coming through that fire and a beautiful, gleaming, sparkling crown coming out the other side, that's a miracle, isn't it? That's a miracle. So let us, as Christians, let us walk humbly and faithfully. Let us not be like Martha. Now, Martha, her good point was she invited Jesus to eat. Her bad point was as she saw her sister sitting, listening to Jesus, and she said, Jesus, you know, make my sister help me. She's sitting there, and I'm doing all the work. No crown for Martha over that. So let's humbly, willingly look for things to do in Jesus' name. And just remember that, the miracle in heaven one day, that
that frail work, I mean, anything we do is frail and pitiful, really, but done in Jesus' name with the right spirit, the gleaming golden crown coming out the other side. May we just love the Lord and serve Him. And whether we get any thanks here, whether we get any reward here, think of the rewards in heaven. Let's be focused on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us to keep focused. Lord, help us to realize that ultimately we are accountable to you. Help us to realize you know everything. Help us to remember that. Lord, we thank you that as Christians, positionally before the Father, we are sinless because he's looking at us through Jesus, the righteous one, the sinless one whose blood has washed away our sins. But help us, Lord, to realize that the world can't see our position before God. All they know is our practice. All they know about us is what they see. Lord, may they see lights that shine for you faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service start.